Chapter 11.
Greens Creek, North Carolina, United States of America, Sol 3. 1725 hours, EDT, Monday, September 28, 2009 AD.
We got a crunchy walking around right by the left track, Reeves snarled. The terrain he had to cross was bad enough. Worrying about a crunchy was not what he wanted on his mind. The direct route from their current position to where Colonel Roberts wanted the Shiva was not much farther than the Shiva was long, but it might as well have been on the moon for all that he could just drive there. If he went straight, he was going to end up nose down in what anyone else would call a valley, and a Shiva considered a ditch. So first he had to slowly go down the easier slope to the west, then make a hard turn to the left, hoping that the tracks would dig through one of the cliffs rather than get stuck, and then drive up the slope. Simple, sure. It was like parallel parking a Suburban with 2 inches to spare in either direction. And if the crunchy stayed where he was when Reeves reached the bottom, he was going to get turned into stew. Colonel Mitchell glanced at the monitor and frowned. I think he's headed for the personnel door. He looked around and spotted the civilian. Mr. Kilzer, can you find... I designed it, Colonel, Paul said, getting to his feet with a grin. It was a general, all right, dragging an oversized briefcase, what used to be called a sample case, and accompanied by a female captain. The general seemed below normal height, but Mitchell realized when he stood up that that was due to his broad bulk. He was probably about 5'10", but seemed damn near as broad across. His BDUs were filled out enough to strain the seams. Some of it was fat, but most of it just looked like muscle. Captain was fairly short, maybe 5 foot, max, with brown hair and green eyes. What was most notable, however, was that the front of her BDUs were swelled out to an incredible degree. Either she had a sleeping bag tied to her chest, or she was stacked like a brick shithouse. After a moment, Mitchell tore his eyes away and met hers only to realize that plain as she looked, other than her chest, her eyes were even more arresting than her figure. After another moment, he tore his eyes away from the entire encounter and saluted the general. "That's a long damn walk for an old man," the general commented, returning the salutes of the crew. "Arkady Samosin, for the time being, I'm the commander of the 147th. "General, you didn't have to come up here. If I'd known it was you down there, I would have come down myself." "Not a problem, Colonel. You've got a better briefing area in your hold than we could have gotten anywhere else." He gestured at the officer with him. "Captain LeBlanc?" "Captain," he said. "The battalion commander?" "She's M.I." "There has been a rash of reliefs lately," she said coldly. Her voice was quiet, so they had to strain to hear it, for which some reason added emphasis. "And a few deaths," the general added. "Captain LeBlanc ended up in temporary command, and it turned out she was the best choice for the job." "Repeat that if we pull this off," the captain said. "So, I understand you want to run over some of my men, Colonel." "Not if we can help it," Mitchell said, calling the local area map on the main view screen. "We need to get up this ridge," he continued, highlighting the point. "We're going down off this hill to the southwest, then up the ridge." He used a light pen to draw on the projected movement. "Nice gear," she commented. "I'm glad you got with me. You would have run right over my forward TOC." She thought about it for a moment, then shook her head. "All my companies along that ridge are in heavy contact. I can't pull them out. They'll get shot to shit, even if I bring up their APCs." Mitchell removed his helmet and scratched his head for a moment, then shrugged. "We can lay down denial fire just ahead of their retreat. We might tag a few of your troops, but at that point you'll be out of contact. Once we get up on the ridge, we'll be in control of the situation." "If they don't flank you," General Samosin pointed out, "and if they don't eat through your armor, you're not invulnerable, you know." "Darn near frontally," Kilzer pointed out. "Sides, though," he shrugged and looked at the captain, "has anyone ever told you you have magnificent breasts?" "Yes," she snapped, "just before I dragged their testicles out through their nose." She turned back to Mitchell and shrugged. "You really think you can stop the potsies before they eat my guys?" "General, what sort of artillery can we call?" Mitchell temporized. "Everything," the general said. "I'll redirect it. If you can push up that ridge and lay down heavy fire on the far valley, we can push forward again." He turned to the captain and shrugged. "You've got all the tracks. You can pull out and then counterattack. I mean, just like that?" "I'll try," LeBlanc said with a shrug. "I've got the tank platoon in reserve anyway. They'll take the gap while the rest are reassembling. I need to get good op order out, though. This won't work with a frag. How long do I have?" 30 minutes, Samosin said. No more. 30 minutes to get the order out, sir? Or 30 minutes to effect the movement? No more than 30 minutes for each, Samosin replied. It'll have to be a frag order, she argued, and a short one at that. Half my company commanders are lieutenants. I've got one company command by a staff sergeant. I don't think it's possible. Seriously. It has to be, Samosin ground out. Do it. Shit, she snarled. Yes, sir. She turned around and dropped into the exit hatch, then stopped. And Kilzer? My face is up here, she snapped, pointing towards it. Then she was gone. I suppose saying va-va-va-voom would be out of line, Paul asked. Yes, it would, the general snapped. Okay, 1 hour. Be ready to move. Sir, it's going to take more time than that, Mitchell said quietly. She's got to move her TOC, among other things. It's 4 Humvees parked in the yard, the general said. I'll give her a bit more than an hour. What I really should do is turn over the tracks to another battalion and let them perform the assault. And what's wrong with that, sir? Mitchell asked. She's the one that carried the lead battalion this far, or rather, she's the one that ended up carrying it this far, the general said with a sigh. I've got more colonels relieved than still in command, and the ones that are in command, I'm going to end up relieving most of them. So she gets to carry the spear some more, Mitchell said? It's your division, General. It's my division if I can get up to the gap in time, the general corrected, and I intend to do that, not only to keep the division, but because that's my mission. Now, how are we going to get there? As I said, sir, Mitchell replied carefully, after we assist your unit in clearing this valley, we're going to have to go over the mountains. He pointed to the west and shrugged. That won't be easy, but we'll get it done. At that point, however, we'll be out of contact for all practical purposes. The trail we leave won't be traversable by most of your divisions. We'll be especially cut off since we don't have secure communications. As to that, the general opened up the sample case and extracted a small folder. This is your communications and electronics operating instructions for communicating with my units. Actually, it's only good for communicating with the division headquarters. I'll try to get you a CEOI for Glennis's battalion before you go into action. But in the meantime, use this to maintain commo. Sir, the colonel said delicately, we don't know how far into our commo security the Pazline have dug. Samosin smiled thinly and shook his head. This isn't our commo security, by which I mean it's not from ground forces. I've carried that around since shortly after Fredericksburg. An officer in General Horner's staff wrote the code, but I ran the program on my own computer. One never connected to a network. He tapped the briefcase again and chuckled grimly. Most people just thought I was crazy, but I always knew there would be a day that it would come in handy. Mitchell looked at the sheets in his hand and shrugged. So this is clean? As clean as human technology can make it, the general replied. I want you ready to move in 45 minutes. I think it will take Captain LeBlanc a little longer than an hour to get ready, but not much. I'll signal you when the time comes. We'll be there, Mitchell said. Once more unto the breach, dear friends, Pruitt said with a chuckle. Once more unto the breach. Elgris raised her head at the racket of fire from the ridgeline. Problems. No shit, Mueller replied, breaking into a run. The fire was coming from well off the line to the cache. Who is that? Callie, Wendy said, trotting right behind him. It has to be. That's not where the children are, though, Sherry said, her face strained. They had crossed the open area around the former farmstead and were up into fallen timber behind. In the two passages through the area, and with the help of Sunday's team, they had partially cleared a path, but it was torturous and slow going. The big problem is that she's way the fuck over there, Masovich said, gesturing to the west, and that bomb is coming in any minute. They reached the ridgeline, and Masovich tried to get some idea where the firing was coming from. But it had died down in the hills with the echoes he could get no sure direction. Shit. AID, get me Major O'Neill. He looked at Elgers and shook his head. We have to get that nuke stopped, or at least slowed down. No. Masovich stared at the AID for a moment in shock. Sir, we're talking about Callie. He looked around the outer cache and shook his head. We can find her and retrieve her in no more than an hour or so. Sergeant Major, have you taken a look at the operational situation on the eastern seaboard? O'Neill asked. No, sir, I haven't, Masovich replied. But we're talking about Raven Gap. So am I, Sergeant Major. There's now an incursion headed for Silva. That has a division that is coming in to support us cut off. I don't know how they got through the defenses up that way, but with everything else going on, I'm not surprised. There are incursions over the Blue Ridge in Virginia as well. Staunton is toast, and so are the Shiva that were under construction around it. The 10,000 is getting pushed back into a pocket. We're talking about a full-scale breakout in the Shenandoah. Horner should be using this nuke there, but he's chosen to use it here. Care to consider why? Because if you can hold out for another few hours, the Shiva will get here, Masovich said, expanding his tactical map, but not if it's got heavy opposition. Bingo, Mike replied. If the Shiva can plug the gap, and it will do it by demolishing it and then parking if it has to, we can fly out to another hopeless battle. But we can't do that if we don't have this nuke here and while we can still catch most of the Pazleen before they deploy against the Shiva. Once it reaches Franklin, it's in range and it can scratch our backs all the way in. But we need this nuke now. Actually, about an hour ago. So no, I'm not going to stop it for another hour or 45 minutes or even 5 minutes while you go look for one singular refugee civilian. Who is your daughter? Masovich said coldly. No shit, Sherlock, O'Neill replied furiously. I would very much like to care about what happens to my daughter, Sergeant Major, but I have a fucking world to save, and if that means that Callie dies, then Callie dies, he finished. His reply had been cold and furious, but Masovich heard the anguish buried in it and lowered his head into his hands. Yes, sir. Get the cachet, Sergeant Major. Close the door. 20 minutes. He's just riding her off, Sherry asked. He can't do that. He just did, Mueller said, pushing the door closed. We can't just sit out this one, boss, Stewart said. I know, O'Neill replied, looking around at the remnants of the battalion. So we dig. He bent down and started pulling dirt up out of the side of the mountain. Bury the resupply, then dig as far as you can and fill it in behind you. What the hell? Keep digging until the rounds hit. In moments, the entire battalion was busy burying itself in the earth. Billy, you have to take the hybrazine, Sherry said softly. I won't, the boy said, backing up to the cachet wall. I'm not going to do that again. Son, we all do, Masovich said reasonably. All of the other children, Wendy, Elgers, and Mueller, were already out, laid on mattresses across and spread out remaining boxes. The biggest fear was that something would fall on them. If the walls of the cachet failed, nothing would save them anyway. And if anyone remained out of hibernation in the room, the oxygen would quickly be used up. Already, Masovich felt the air getting close and fetid. There's not enough air in here for us to stay awake. I'm not gonna do it, the boy said, stubbornly shaking his head. Sherry's face was strained and tired, but just as determined. Everyone's going under this time, Billy. Even me. She shifted to the side and spread her empty hands wide. You just have to trust me. Somebody will come. I don't want to, Billy repeated, trying not to. I can't. Masovich waited until he was outside the boy's peripheral vision, then struck like a viper, injecting him in the side of the neck. He caught him as he twisted and started to fall, laying him out carefully on the boxes. Just us, he said. I guess so, Sherry said, lying down and taking Billy and Susie in her arms. I don't like this any more than he did, she added, her face pinched. Like any of us do, Masovich muttered, injecting her in the neck and watching as her face slackened. He replaced the disposable container in the injector, then lay down next to Elgar's, looking at the injector and then at his watch. Oh, well, here goes nothing. In another moment, the cachet was still. Well, Dr. Castanuelo, you sure this thing isn't going to blow? The control center for the experimental cannon looked like NASA. There were at least 15 operators in the center, all of them busy monitoring various aspects of the gun. The weapon itself was mounted in a building the size of a large observatory placed at the edge of the UT campus and surrounded by fences keeping out the curious and suicidal. It had finally been loaded, and now, with the ACS battalion resupplied, it was time to find out if Knoxville was going to disappear or North Georgia. Yes, sir, the academic said, almost definitely. How reassuring, President Carson said. General, if you give us another hour, we can have most of the region evacuated. In another hour, 100,000 Pazleen are going to pour through the gap, Mr. Carson. Dr. Castanuelo, are you sure enough to push the firing button? Yes, sir, Mickey replied. Then do it. Mickey flipped up the cover of the firing mechanism and sounded the preparatory warning. Preparing to fire, he announced over the intercom. He hit the controls to begin the liquid propellant cycling, then turned the key activating system. Last, he hovered his hand over the actual firing button. Then he screwed up his eyes and stabbed downward. Horner was amused to watch the reaction. He himself simply turned to the video cameras monitoring the event and watched it eyes open. He figured that if it was screwed up, he'd never know it. The gap they were crossing was not much larger than the Shiva was long, so they ended up straddling the road nearly 3 meters in the air. "This is not good for the frame," Indy commented idly as the Shiva creaked and groaned its way from one hill to the next. "It'll take it," Kilzer replied. "We ran it through trials on things like this." They all realized that they were just avoiding the thought of what they were about to do. The light of the plasma and the HVM fire could be sparking all along the ridgeline, and it was clear that despite the fire of the metal storms and the hurricane of artillery, the Pozzolan were heavily massed on the other side of the slope. As soon as they crested the ridge, they would be the biggest target in sight. "Sir, I can't see us hull down in this one," Reeves said. "The slope's wrong." "Do what you can," Mitchell replied. Reeves nodded his head and gunned the giant platform up the side of the ridge. As he did, he could see the infantry pulling out of the defensive positions along the top. Some of them had trenches connecting them, but mostly they were just foxholes, and the defenders had to crawl out into fire to retreat. Some of them weren't making it, and it was apparent that the Pozzolan were now firing from close range. "This is going to be tricky," Mitchell muttered as the first metal storm opened up on the ridgeline. There was the usual storm of fire, but in this case, most of it was clearing the ridgeline and dropping into the dead ground on the far side. Crap, I was afraid of that. Because of their height, the 40mm rounds had about a 4,000-meter range, and they would arm within 50 meters. But the guns could only depress a few degrees below the horizon. Therefore, the Shiva had a large zone around it in which the guns could not engage. Depending on the metal storm and the angle at which the Shiva was at, that could range anywhere from 500 to 1,000 meters. The problem in taking the ridge was therefore twofold. They would be a target to every Pozzolan in sight, but even worse, the ones that were close would have a free shot. "Colonel, this is Chan." The metal storm commander had the toneless voice of the well-trained who were in a very bad situation. "I can't get the close ones, and we can see them coming up the hill. The valley is, look, sir, we're talking 23rd Psalm here. This is definitely the Valley of the Shadow of Death." "Don't worry," Kilzer muttered as the top of the Shiva crested the hill and the first plasma and HVM rounds began to ring on the armor. "Got it covered, for Bun Bun is the baddest motherfucker in the valley." "What?" Pruitt asked. For the first time, he felt completely useless. His only job was managing the main gun, and there was nothing he could fire at in these circumstances. "Let them get in close," the tech rep said. "I can't do anything out at range, but in close, we're covered." Finally, the main gun and the visual systems associated with it crested the top of the hill, and the view on the other side became apparent, and the comparative frenzy on the metal storm channels made sense. The artillery had shifted to create a curtain barrage all along the front. The sun had begun to set behind the mountains to the west, and the purple flashes of variable time artillery were a continuous ripple along the base of the ridge. But in the dying light, the valley seemed to heave and ripple as if covered with cockroaches. After a moment, it was apparent that what it was covered in, from slope edge to slope edge, was Pozzolan. Thousands of them, tens, hundreds of thousands of them, all pressing forward to try to force their way over the ridges and through the gap, and an increasing number of them were firing at the Shiva. As Mitchell watched, another swath of destruction was cut by the metal storms. But as far as the Pozzolan were cut down, the gaps were filled by the pressure from behind, and he could see the surviving centaurs picking up scraps of meat from their deceased fellows and heavy weapons that had survived and either storing them on their backs or passing them to the rear. "We're not killing them, we're just filling their larder," he muttered. Another storm of fire came in, and more of it was striking from the side, passing through the relatively light metal along the edge of the turret. Time to rethink and regroup. "Major Chan, maintain maximum sustainable fire on all targets in view," he said. "Reeves, back us off the ridge. We need to get most of the hull and turret somewhere along here where the metal storms have an angle of direct fire, but the rest of the gun is down." "I'll try," the driver said, putting the tank in reverse with a glance at the map, "but I don't see a good spot." "Well, keep—" Mitchell flinched as the massive boom echoed through the gun. "What the hell?" "Patsy's close," Pruitt called as more bangs and booms echoed through the hull. "Left side front, full company. I don't know where they came from." "Back us up, Reeve." "Hang on, Colonel," Kilzer said, touching a button. Another boom, much more massive than the first, shook the hull. Problem solved. "Holy shit," Pruitt said, looking at the monitor. Mostly what could be seen was dust, but what was visible of the Pozzolan company looked like someone had pounded it with a giant meat mallet. "What in the hell was that?" Claymore, Kilzer replied. That's two on the front, two on the back, and three on each side. It's got six shots. Cool. That's not going to keep us alive down there, Mitchell replied. Sir, I've got an idea, Reeves said, stopping the tanks and spinning it in place. Ouch, Prue said with a laugh. Did it hurt? Fuck you, Prue, the driver, who was not noted for his intelligence, replied. He locked one track, then threw the other into full drive, spinning up a rooster trail of dirt and rocking the 7,000-ton gun sideways down the hill. Ah, I know what you're doing, Kilzer said with a grin. Watch it, though. You can get yourself stuck as hell. Okay, I'll bite, Mitchell said in a bemused voice. What are you doing? He's trying to dig in a fighting position, Kilzer explained for the driver, who was repositioning the tank. Dig out the upper side of the position by spinning the track in place. And it appeared to be working. The friable stone of the hillside was shattering under the weight and power of the Shiva tracks, and with each spin, the upper side of the Shiva sank lower. After a moment, Reeves spun the monstrous vehicle in place and moved some of the dirt over to create a wider spot, then went back to work. Colonel, this is Chan, the Metal Storm commander called. We've got another group of leakers coming in along the eastern edge of the ridge. The infantry has reconsolidated on the far hill and is engaging them at long range, but they seem to be planning on closing with us. And they're under my angle of fire. Let them close, Mitchell replied. Mr. Kilzer will be waiting for them. Yes, sir, the major replied. I'll explain later, Mitchell said. How's it looking from your angle? Smelly, the major replied. Glenn just threw up all over the compartment. How's the angle of fire, Mitchell replied with a grimace. Being on top of the Shiva when it went through those gyrations would not be fun. Well, if Reeves is looking for an excuse to stop putting us through this, I'll give him one. We can see to fire, and most of the turret is hull down. Okay, Reeves, get a good position and hold it, the colonel said. Major Chan, concentrate fire on the zone from directly in front of us to the road. We want to keep them off us, but also open up a situation where the infantry can stage a breakout. They still had monitors where they could see the valley, and he shook his head. Although I think that we might be optimistic about this one. What do you want me to do? Pruitt asked. Get up to the crane and start hauling out Metal Storm packs, Mitchell replied. I think we're going to need them. I'm going to go survey the damage we took from those hits, Indy said, unsnapping and standing up to follow the gunner. I didn't like the feel of that last engagement. Don't go out and kick the tracks, Mitchell said. I don't know when we're going to move. He went back to watching the monitors and after a few minutes nodded his head. The antimatter area denial rounds they had fired up the road had to have wiped out a good collection of what would be reinforcements for the forces in the valley, and the combination of artillery, which was now shifting out into the main mass, and the Metal Storm fire was now opening up patches of ground. The Pazline looked unlimited, but they weren't, and the heavy firepower that was now pounding the valley was whittling them away, and doing so rather fast, all things considered. He glanced at his watch and realized that it had been less than 15 minutes since they had left the hilltop opposite. It seemed like hours. Somewhere to the south, the ACS was getting ready to retake the gap. Somewhere near Knoxville, a true hell weapon was about to fire. But there was only one, and for the ACS to survive and the plug in the gap to be maintained, it was necessary to clear out this plug of Pazline and drive on with the mission. 15 minutes was starting to sound like a long time. Ask me for anything but time.